It's February 26th, 2010. I'm Mike Benedetti.
This is Brendan Mellican.
Good morning.
This is 508, a show about Worcester. Today on the show, Brendan, different topics. Do you have a top story for the week?
I don't think so. No. Yes, I do. The city council, on Tuesday night, Joe Petty, Councillor Petty, mm-hmm. Actually got up and he spoke. The quiet man. He broke his silence and he was discussing the Google Fiber project
yes.
to the council.
Yes.
And I think he did a really good job of actually presenting the topic to the city. And the council decided unanimously that they would that as a city we would chase down this project.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard from some folks in City Hall that different groups have started meeting in City Hall to start working on the formal application, which kind of okay. means it's now our cue out here in the real world to start working on those accessory applications that individuals and organizations are asked to submit by Google.
And the idea here is that Google wants to basically bring broadband to your town. That's like 20 times faster.
It's gigabit fiber, so faster than we should expect to see anytime in the next decade or so. It's one of those things that there aren't many any big reasons for like Charter or Verizon to go and lay this kind of high-speed network. Google wants to do it for free in a few communities as kind of like a test to see if it's viable down the road. And I think, Worcester might actually have a shot if we apply the right way for getting a hold of one of those contracts.
I was very excited that this allowed Joe Petty to talk about dark fiber.
Because yeah.
this is the unused fiber optic cable and other telecommunications equipment that's been built up, but it's not lit up. We're lighting the dark fiber.
Yeah, it's a great term. I mean, we did lay tons of dark fiber in Massachusetts before the internet bubble burst back in the late 90s. So we have a fiber ring downtown. I'm not sure how big it is, but it's pretty much surrounding the business district downtown. And then the Mass Pike, from what I understand, also has a significant amount of dark fiber that runs the length of the Mass Pike. Massachusetts just did a great job of starting to build all this up before the internet bubble burst back in the late 90s. And I also believe that whenever we do underground work on wire in the city, we're also laying new fiber as well. So we might actually have a lot of this infrastructure already in place. It'd be interesting to see if we could convince Google to come in and create the backbone for that infrastructure.
Wonderful. I wanted to talk about the Whiskerite beard competition that we've talked about. This is a charity beard competition in Worcester at the Dive Bar, raised almost $1,000 for the Worcester County Food Bank. This beard here won the design category, the topiary category. I had a sort of jewelry and face paint and a little bit of Pirates of the Caribbean thing going on. Duncan Arsenault won the best of show. Other people won other prizes. It was a wonderful event, one of the better charity events I've been to. And my feeling is, I don't know. I guess some people would say, while anyone is suffering, no one is allowed to have fun. I think that most of the real revolutionaries have been 100% against that point of view. And so I think it's great to have a charity beard competition.
I would agree. If only I could grow a beard.
I know. Well, I'm going to we'll have a link to a video about the Whiskerite competition. For people watching on television, just at the end of this show, we'll have that video. Last week, we talked about the Worcester Right Place, Right Time song. Again, people on TV, I think we'll put that song at the end of this show. People watching online will link to it. And we had speculated as to where was the origin of this, and
couldn't be any more wrong as to where this song came from.
It was not created by Nat Needle. It is possible that it was a discount song that Worcester picked up because no other town wanted it, but Nicole did some fantastic online research and found that this campaign dates from at least 1996, and that the song was created by Brian Silva at Gloucester's Sound Marketing. We've also been encouraged to try to look up a Worcester 250th anniversary theme song, which would have probably come out in 1972.
Yeah.
And so
I've actually got, when I was reading that comment, someone was looking for that song or they'd heard of it. Something I bought on eBay randomly once was a little metal commemorating the 250 year anniversary of Worcester in 1972. It's a most bizarre little coin. The back has the city seal, and the front of it just has this very abstract design that doesn't make any sense. I can't for the life of me figure out what it's supposed to represent. But it's I've got that. I'll bring that to the show one of these days.
We should
show
it.
Off the coin. I don't know how many of those are around anymore.
People look in your attic. People look at the junk store. Presumably there may have been a flexi disc of this 250th anniversary song. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just speculating. Over the holidays, I was helping my dad digitize some audio recordings mm-hmm. he'd made when he was in Nam. So, certainly there could be other kinds of recordings. 1972 that people would have around. It'd be interesting to get that one up on YouTube. What else do we got here? CSX rail yard expanding. Is there much to say about this?
It's expanding. Lots of rail yard.
This is like basically where there's like a lot of shipping containers and things by
over on Franklin Street
by Union Station.
Right, and they're looking to expand that to be about 50, I think. My yardage just went out.
50
of my
acres.
Head. Acres. There we go. Yes. That's what I was looking for. The only big complaint that anyone seemed to have at the city council meeting Tuesday night was the idea that we would be sticking this in the middle of the downtown area where we're trying to build up, you know, commerce and nightlife and what have you. And all I could think of while people were talking about that was, if you've ever been to like the Baltimore waterfront, that is a shipping yard that happens to also be one of the greatest, you know, nightlife and entertainment districts and commercial districts on the Eastern Seaboard. The Boston waterfront, also a shipping yard that has over time become an entertainment district. And like all of Manhattan was at one point, you know, like different forms of shipping areas, and still are to some degree. So it didn't seem like a great argument that why would we want to do this? It, you know, there's one thing that like industrial stuff actually goes well with nightlife because there isn't anyone to complain. You know, it's like residential and nightlife. Residential and nightlife and residential industrial don't necessarily mix too well, but nightlife, industrial, it's like a match made in heaven. There's no one to sit there and complain.
The truckers are not going to say these drunks are too loud outside the bar.
Right. And, you know, people in the bar are rarely going to be complaining about a train whistle going by. So it actually makes a pretty good fit.
There you go. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And right now this is an abandoned Shaw's supermarket.
Yeah, it's an entire area of from Lower Grafton Street all the way over to Franklin Street, and then going the other direction up towards around Suffolk Street where Vincent's is up there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a huge piece of area, piece of land, but it's a huge piece of land that most people have probably never seen because there's really nothing in there unless you've just been kind of poking around, you know, rundown areas of the city. There's not a lot of reason to go down there.
This is definitely a place where my mental topology of the city just. I just begin to have a mental breakdown. Like, yeah, there's nothing there. I can't believe that there. I guess there is something there, but my mind doesn't think there is.
I've also convinced myself too that 20 years from now we're going to be looking at our kids and our kids are going to be saying, "Hey, you're going to be kidding me. What were you folks thinking putting this in the middle of the city?" But at the same time, we're going to have to explain to, you know, that the next generation that we really tried to do something with this land. Like, we offered it to Walmart and they wouldn't take it for free. You know, it's like nobody wants to do anything in this area of downtown Worcester. So. You know, it seems like the right idea to actually have someone come in there for profit and actually take the land off of our hands and do something meaningful with it.
Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. We got some Facebook comments this week. You said you deleted your Facebook account?
I deleted my Facebook account. I've kind of convinced myself that I still have another accessory account that I use for advertising stuff and what have you on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of decided that 12 months from now, Facebook will probably be doing the MySpace death rattle from about 4 or 5 years ago, and I just want to be, you know, get it out of my system now.
How are you doing a Google Buzz, or how are you doing your social graph?
I call people. I go to people's homes, knock on the door, and say, "Hey, you want to have coffee or something?" No, I don't know.
You're talking like a crazy man.
I know, it's the damn Luddites. It wasn't getting anything from Facebook other than. I don't know, links to things that I saw on Reddit the week before. Yeah, it wasn't really anything interesting or meaningful anymore. So,
all right.
You folks will be fine without me.
All right.
Good luck out there.
Facebook is dead. We got somebody, we were suggested to talk about the CSX thing, and then somebody said that we should talk about, and we have a lot of comments actually about, Worcester won't participate in the state's opioid overdose prevention and reversal project, and... which involves nasal Narcan.
Oh, really?
Yes, and the person bringing up the statistic that from 2004 to 2006, 465 non-fatal overdoses in the city, 47 fatal overdoses in the city, and haven't had time to learn about this.
We talked about that quite a bit, the Narcan project, when it first came up. It was years ago.
We should remind people, because I don't
even remember. We should remind ourselves.
I remember hearing about this, but I'm like, I don't really know
that. Yeah, we talked about it quite a bit on the show, and I think that was pre-video days.
Okay.
And I think at least I had written about it quite a bit as well on one of my websites there. So, yeah, I'll have to dig some of that up. So this person was saying that we will not be participating in
that. That's what this person is saying.
Interesting.
This is, again, a story. We don't know. We could be 100% wrong about this story. I wanted to get
like
into
most things.
We're actually going to talk about the Pitbull stuff, Coinstar, and Holden. I want to talk about the In City Times. InCity Times, here it is. We used to read the InCity Times all the time because it wasn't online, but now that it's online, we don't run through the contents on the show as a service to non-Worcester people. Just go on the internet. It was kind of like there's a famous story about a newspaper strike in New York City. I love this story. And the mayor, Fiorella LaGuardia, during the newspaper strike, went on the radio and would read the comics every day that he got from some out-of-town paper to the children over the radio, which, as a strike-breaking thing, I don't know, but as a sort of like sneaker net, early kind of sneaker net, like we're going
to connect. As a way to get an airport named after you, that's a home run right there.
This is true. And it's not a bad airport.
It's not a bad airport at all. This is an article by Rosalie called Could It Happen Here in Worcester? She says, my guy and I went to Boston this week to hear the band Yes at the House of Blues. And she thought, man, like, wouldn't it have been great to be able to see Yes in Worcester? And, like, maybe the Yes concert could have been at the Palladium, except that there are these metal bands at the Palladium. And she describes the Palladium as a mecca for every dark, disturbed, heavy metal band and dark, disturbed, uber-pierced fans. And so I guess the argument being here that we should not have, amazingly, we have this youth culture venue in the city.
Didn't Yes come to the DCU Center back in 1983?
You mean back when they were an actual band?
Potentially so.
So I mean, the answer to Rosalie's question then is yes. This could have happened, but it did happen. It happened when it was appropriate for it to happen, not when it was a novelty.
Now we're not here to make fun of this article. We're here to defend. Basically, I think we're Worcester's only mainstream media venue that talks about metal, that defends metal. We have to defend metal here and say, like, I don't know. It's kind of miraculous that there is a youth culture thing, a very popular youth culture thing in downtown Worcester. Maybe we take it for granted.
It stretches beyond just the youth culture, too, and goes into a lot of our live music venues for adults. You still see, you know, a significant number of metal bands that you probably wouldn't find now in many cities, you know, that have moved on to other genres and whatnot because it's
Worcester's
convenient.
Metal heritage.
It is our heritage, and we have embraced it fully. I don't know what Rose is talking about on this one here. I mean, this is one of the few things that we should actually, while you know, adults probably don't understand what those crazy kids are up to, they should be thankful that we do have this one thing that can, like a creative outlet for kids in the city. The Palladium's always full. I mean, they seem to be selling that place out on a regular basis for bands I've never heard of, which is spectacular.
Well, I have two rebuttals to this argument. Mm-hmm. This and this. That's all I have to say. It's also interesting to point out that the Hanover is just down the street, the other side of North Main there.
And doing just fine for old people and their novelty acts.
Yeah, anyway, I just thought it was awesome. I thought it was awesome, especially just thinking about the goths and the metalheads.
Don't forget the juggalos.
And the we should link to this. I hate the Insane Clown Posse, but we're going to link to a sweet video of the Insane Clown Posse youth news, basically. I just think it's awesome that you basically got, like, on the one side of Main Street, you've got, like, these people who are, you know, pretending to be dead, these metalheads and goths. It's kind of like a transgressive signal. And then you've got sort of this advocacy for, like, we need to bring Yes to Worcester.
People who are waiting to be dead.
People who are basically dead in a more profound way. Right. Them and their fans. I just think it's awesome. I just think it's like a huge, I don't know, it's just a, we need a little life downtown too, but I think that the sort of death culture thing is working well too.
We should have a new segment on the show. Once it gets warm, we'll go down on Saturday nights and start interviewing metalheads, and you know, we'll have a Meet the Metalhead segment on 508.
One nice thing I'll say about this article is, thanks for like pointing out that these people hang outside the Palladium looking wild, because this is definitely a part of the city which is an important part of downtown.
Absolutely. I mean, driving down, I love going like down to like the Abbey or something on a Friday or Saturday night and seeing the kids down there at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon lined around the building. But yeah, everyone is like all dressed up and what have you. It's been a while since we've had like, well, this has been a consistent, right? But I mean, it's been a while since you've seen like a scene come together. A scene. Mm-hmm. Screw that one up. But you have a scene that is visible. It's not just a thing that's happening off in a corner or behind closed doors. It's a very public scene. And some people certainly might be disturbed by it, but it's pretty great to actually see it out there.
Something dynamic.
Dynamic.
I want to talk about the Holden Free Store. Have we ever talked about the Holden Free Store on this show, the store at the Holden Recycling Center? People should go down there.
Sounds familiar.
I have no excess love for the city of Holden, believe me. But I think it's awesome. People should go down there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Brendan Malikan. At the Holden Recycling Center, which is just down the street here, mm-hmm. I don't exactly know how it works. My sense is anything that comes in there that's good, they have just in like a place, like a thrift store, sort of just free. And you go in there and you take what you want.
Really?
So like you would go in there and you would see like this notebook would be like in the notebook section and you would like take a free notebook.
Where do they come from?
It's just the Holden. Everywhere. People come from everywhere to the Holden
Brewery. Yeah, but I mean, where were the things? Where did
people's house. That's why it's also exciting, because you get to see stuff that was in people's house that they don't want. Old industrial stuff, books, magazines.
Nice. Where is this place?
Where is this place?
It's behind the Friendlies on Holden Street.
Behind the Friendlies.
On Holden Street.
Anyway, people should go there. Also, speaking of cutting-edge real news of stuff that's been there for years, you're telling me now that for years now, Coinstar has been free. I only found this up the last few months.
That's the greatest thing in the world. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is more exciting to you, because I've been doing this for a while. You should explain it, because you're the one that's
okay.
More excited.
People wonder why we talk about this, and the answer is because this is the rare week in Worcester where there's actually, like, important news going on, or, like, news that could affect the future of the city going on. Usually there's no news, and the things that are happening in Worcester is people's day-to-day lives, like discovering that Coinstar is free. Right. To me, this is not the week's top story, but
game
it's close.
Changing.
So, you know, you go to the grocery store, and they got the thing, and you throw some change in it, and it, like, takes 6% of the money out, and then it gives you money.
Right.
So you can throw a bunch of pennies and stuff in there. And so you sort of feel like, ah, these pennies, like, why do we have them? I can't even use them. I have to spend all the time rolling them up and take them to the bank, or maybe I could be totally... Like, what I tried to do is, like, keep some pennies in my pocket so I can pay the change at the store, but it doesn't really work out. It's too complicated. It's just not worth it. So, and then you don't want to pay 6% of your own money to get your own change back in some sort of reusable format. This seems totally unfair. Now what you can do is you can put it in the machine there, and if you have more than $5 of change, you can get a gift certificate with no money subtracted. And you can get a gift certificate for Amazon, which is awesome, because I buy stuff at Amazon on a regular basis.
All the time.
All the time. So it's basically like being able to use pennies online.
Amazon is what I always use it for, but they used to always have iTunes gift certificates as well, too. I don't know if that's changed.
I think they do.
And then there was a bunch of other services as well, too, that I wasn't totally familiar with.
Home Depot, I think.
But Amazon seemed to be the one that was a total home run. And what's great about the Amazon one is, so the Coinstar machine is in a supermarket. You can actually do all of your grocery shopping on Amazon, usually for less money. Their prices are incredibly
cheap.
And free shipping. Not produce and meat, that would be disgusting, but, you know, everything else you can get from Amazon. So you could actually go to the Coinstar machine at the supermarket, put your money in, get your Amazon gift card, do your browsing or your shopping in your head, just walking around the supermarket, and then go home and order everything cheaper. You never actually have to buy anything at the supermarket.
The supermarket might be shooting themselves in the foot by letting Coinstar in there.
It'll end up just being a giant building with rows of Coinstar machines.
Anyway, so you can now spend pennies at Amazon, so that's pretty awesome. Or I guess you have been able to do this forever.
It's been a couple of years that they've been doing this, but
anyway.
Welcome to the club. Welcome.
It feels good. It feels good. Pitbull ordinance.
Pitbull ordinance.
What's going on with the pitbull ordinance?
I don't know. I mean, they discussed it Tuesday at the city council meeting. What the city wants to do is essentially mirror the Boston pitbull ordinance, which isn't like a terribly written ordinance. It's they're looking for muzzles on dogs. There are some goofy things like signage. You have to have signs. If you have a pit bull, you have to have a sign on your front of your house that's like visible from 100 feet away, which seems like a giant sign. I mean, this is probably going to be great for some of the remaining neon manufacturers in the city. I mean, some big signs for 100 feet. But the thing that's interesting that I can't for the life of me figure out is, so we've got groups complaining about pit bulls in the city. They seem to mostly be old ladies and police officers. I don't think there's a relationship between the two, but cops tend to run into them, you know, on a regular basis, which I get. You know, I can't imagine anyone would want to be surprised by, you know, an angry dog running out of the dark. And then people who just don't like dogs, you know, which is another factor that I think people need to keep in mind, is that there are people who just hate dogs, and, you know, pit bulls are an easy thing to pick on. But so this Boston ordinance that we want to mirror, and all the other dog ordinances that are out there, they've been around for a long time. And so, like, the Boston one's been 6 years, I think, now.
Okay.
And other cities have had these ordinances going on 10, 15, 20 years. What I can't for the life of me figure out is, if you go to someone that's a proponent of one of these ordinances and say, can you show me some good research indicating that this ordinance, like, say, in Boston, that's been
around
for 6 years.
Boston now has no dog attacks.
Yeah, Boston is now a much safer city. You know, people love the city of Boston simply because the pit bulls are under control. You know, you get, like, a blank look back from the proponents of these ordinances. And that's kind of the thing that I can't wrap my head around, is that we can all agree that there may be problem dogs out there. I'm sure we've all had a bad experience. I had a golden retriever steal my pacifier when I was a baby, right from my mouth. It was awful. But, you know, I don't, an ordinance wouldn't be the solution to the pacifier stealing golden retriever problem unless you had some data behind it.
I think pacifier regulation, they should have made pacifiers
they should
that
have
somehow
the
dog proof.
The dog was actually not the problem, it was the pacifier that was the problem. But the point being, you know, we've got 20 or so years of these breed specific ordinances out there, and we don't seem to have any meaningful data indicating that anything's changed. Other than, you know, people who dislike dogs now feel better because they've, you know, put muzzles on all the pit bulls. Nothing's safer. You know, there is nothing out there. There is no good peer-reviewed research showing that cities have done 360s or 180s or whatever the appropriate distance to spin would be from enacting these ordinances. It's just an ordinance for the sake of having an ordinance. So I'm declaring the pit bull ordinance to be the hot dog cart of 2010.
Except that it won't actually negatively affect business. It won't hurt the city. I mean, it will hurt people in the city individually, but it won't hurt the culture
It'll
of the city
the
like the hot dog one did.
It'll hurt the dogs, just like the hot dog ordinance hurt the hot dog vendors, the
that,
pit bull
there's
ordinance.
There's the
common thread.
So did you ever read that Malcolm Gladwell article in the New Yorker about pit bull? No?
No.
This is why I'm an expert now at the pit bull subject and why you should listen to my opinion about it. I'm going to link to this article. It's a great article, and it's a great article about the whole question of, does it make sense to profile by breed?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Are you not going to tell us about it?
You can read it. This is Malcolm Gladwell, man. You can read this article. Yeah, he just thinks
he's
it's
all
a,
excited.
He thinks it's a dumb idea.
Well, it is a dumb idea.
He thinks that the breed of dog that attacks people is whatever breed of dog happens to be popular with dog people who do illegal dog fighting.
Right.
And so it's like...
And that changes over time.
And it changes over time. So it's like, great. Like, this year, you could basically just start banning breed after breed after breed. If this, you know...
I oftentimes, when I see... We've gone through this a couple times.
Or not banning. I should say... We should say muzzling and other restrictions on.
But we've gone through this a couple times in Worcester, where, and I'm often curious as to whether or not the people... The main proponents, the people behind the scenes who are always pushing for some sort of control on dogs, are just, like, people who are afraid of dogs. That seems to be more the case, or the more likely. It's not... Because there's... You can't logically think that this is going to change something. I mean, pit bulls are a great example only because if you go back to the World War II generation, our parents all grew up with pit bulls as the family pet. They just weren't referred to as pit bulls. They were just, you know, your common everyday mutt. That's all that was out there.
Supposedly, the pit bull is an incredibly good dog because...
Around kids, they're so loyal.
Because you could basically hit them with a hammer and they just don't really do anything. Like... I mean, if you hit them with the hammer twice, then they kill you. But if you hit them with a hammer, you know, they're sort of bred to be very tolerant of physical interaction.
Most people who are of like the baby boomer generation who had a dog when they were a kid, in all likelihood, they had a pit bull. They just didn't realize it because it wasn't a named breed at the time. It was, you know, just considered to be a mutt. Same way, Little Rascals, right? I mean, Spot, that's a pit bull.
What?
Yeah, that Little Rascals dog is a pit bull. And people, I don't know. It's like Malcolm Gladwell apparently is saying that, you know, our impression of pit bulls, our modern impression, our contemporary view of pit bulls has come from what people are doing with them now. It has nothing to do with the breed, which has been around since, well, the dawn of time. The dawn of dogs, I guess.
If it's good enough for buckwheat, it's good enough for Worcester.
Of course.
That's the slogan for the anti-pit bull ordinance movement now.
We need a t-shirt. That's a new slogan right there.
Brendan Malkin, anything else? Anything exciting this weekend? Oh, I should also point out, the biggest news of the week, actually, in our last couple of minutes here, was that Holmes Wilson had, you know Holmes Wilson?
Yeah.
Famous Worcester
Did
activist.
He got
married last Sunday at the Midtown Mall. It was great. It was like there were lights hanging down. There were little circular tables in that central walkway.
Yeah.
It was like being in a street, kind of like a street cafe in Paris or Italy, I imagine, and it was a great time. And it was what more Worcester place could you get married at?
No more
inside the Turtle Boy or in the Midtown Mall.
Yeah, and this is the place that Councilor Palmieri wants to get rid of. Shameful. Do we have photos
of the wedding?
Yeah,
maybe on Facebook or something.
Damn it.
Talk to you next week. Bye, guys.
Take care.